The scripture this evening is
Luke 22,
14 through 20. Listen this evening for God's word to you. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." I believe that God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Tonight, as we eat the bread and drink the cup of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we're signifying that Christ is neither gone nor is he forgotten. We're signifying that he is present here with us as we take communion in just a few moments in remembrance of him and what he did for us personally, and for all of humanity. Travelers down I-75 in the eastern part of Tennessee, just north of Knoxville, will see a sign that talks about the Museum of Appalachia. It's a unique museum as the handiwork of John Irwin, a former school teacher and historian who tried to capture the best of the Appalachian culture. A reporter from the Smithsonian Magazine tells of being shown Irwin's office, which was overflowing with books and items that were waiting to be tagged. And hanging in Irwin's office was his most prized artifact. It's a crazy quilt made up of solids and plaids embossed with various animals and everyday items. There's a chicken, a horse, a salamander, a fiddle, a Jew's harp. There are words, "God bless our family." The quilt was made by Irwin's grandmother, who pieced it together at the turn of the century before she was married. Irwin first laid eyes on the quilt years ago, and until he saw it, he said he knew nothing of his grandmother's passions or her talents or really who she was as a human being. She had not put the quilt, the things she had put on the quilt, the things that she had liked. And if it were not for the quilt, her great grandkids would not really have known her except her name. And then she spent her time doing the things that grandmothers do, cleaning and cooking and darning socks and ironing and things like that. They would not have known about her artistic abilities. In apparent contradiction to the otherwise anonymous nature of her life, she inscribed a plea on the quilt that Irwin calls the most dramatic two words that he had ever heard. They simply said, "Remember me." Remember me. That quiet mountain woman did not want to be forgotten. She wanted to be remembered. And I think all of us want to be remembered in a positive and a good way. A pastor tells of celebrating the Lord's Supper with Father Lawrence Jenko, a former hostage for several years in Beirut, Lebanon, in the sacrament. When Father Jenko came to the place where the priest repeats the request to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me," Father Jenko instead said, "Don't forget me." How many times, says the pastor, must Jenko have wandered in the dark prison where he was alone and suffering, whether anyone in the outside world even remembered that he even existed? In those long years, this good man was taken up into the heart of Jesus as Jesus too was about to be seized and tortured. He knew that Jesus too was afraid that the whole life would be for nothing, that he would be forgotten. He had good reason to think so. He didn't predict that even his closest friends would run away when he was arrested, and they did. "Don't forget me." Ever since that day, says this pastor, whenever I celebrate the Eucharist, I hear Jesus saying that to me, "Don't forget me." It's so easy to forget. Our lives get so busy. The world is so much to us, but this is what Jesus asks us, that we remember Him. That is why we're here this evening, to remember. And it's so easy. I know the older I get, I forget things so easily. And I was telling somebody before the service, I just forget things that I should remember. I just forget them. An Italian mystic and novelist, Luigi Tenci, sought to capture Christ's thoughts at the Last Supper with his disciples. And these are his words. At this point, I see his eyes wandering around the remains of the bread on the tablecloth and then shining with an ineffable inspiration. This would be the hiding place. That's where he would take refuge, in the bread which he broke for his disciples. That night, the soldiers wouldn't capture him in his entirety. They'd think they'd done so. They'd think they'd dragged him away from his companions. Yet really, they were scourging, crucified, a ghost, because he has hidden himself within the bread. Brothers in Galilee, when they wanted to seize him and kill him or make him a king, he had the knack of hiding himself and disappearing from them, just walking away from them in plain sight. So he stretched out his hand over the already broken bread, broke it into smaller pieces, and raising in the air, pronounced the words, what they call a magic transition. This is my body, which has been given for you. That's why I looked over the tablecloths for the easiest, most familiar, and most concrete thing, the bread. That evening Christ measured out for millions of evenings before we'd see his face to face. He measured out that long separation. He knew that men forget things within a few days, that distance destroys things. If Peter himself and John and Andrew and James would forget, then in order that his children and grandchildren shouldn't forget, he had to throw himself between himself and me, that never-ending bridge of bread. And what a great image. We eat bread every day and we don't think about it. But then we come here tonight and we look at this bread and we partake of it. And there's something special about it. Because we do it not just as a religious rite or an act, but we do it remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's given his life for us. He's paid the debt of our sins that we could not pay ourselves. That's what the Lord's Supper has been for Christians for 2,000 years, ever since Christ's death and resurrection. It has real meaning. It is a bridge from us to Him, from Him to us. And as long as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we will not forget. We will not lose touch with those of who we are and what Christ has done for us. Do you remember the climax of the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? They found themselves in the presence of the risen Christ, but they didn't realize who he was, and they were walking with him and talking with him, and he was telling them stories. At the end of the story, they had their eyes open and they recognized him. But how? Luke tells us it's when it was in the breaking of the bread. There's something so powerful about that. As long as we have the bread, as long as we have the cup, we will remember. Putting aside all the theological stuff and the division that churches might have of whether Christ is in the bread or a remembrance, however, the visions, putting aside all those questions, when and how often? Some churches do it every Sunday. Some do it the first Sunday. And we have our tradition here at Glenshaw Valley. But communion is simply about waiting and remembering. Each time we as a community of faith gather around the table to take the communion, and you're served by the elders, and you hold that bread, and you hold that juice, and we take it in unity, you're not just remembering Christ and what he did for you, You're also waiting, remembering that he said, I will come again. We're remembering that this is the risen Lord. This is the Lord that is alive, the Lord that they could kill, but they could not keep in that grave. We're waiting for that Lord to return. And so as you take the bread and the cup this night, in your heart, I hope that you'll give thanks. And you think, they killed him, but he's not dead. He is alive. And he has ascended into heaven. And he is coming back. He will come to get his church. If you brought a burden with you in here tonight, maybe it's an illness that you have yourself or a family member. Maybe it's employment. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sin. Whatever it is, lay it on the table tonight before you take communion. Pray about it. Give it over to the Lord. He can take it from you. He can handle what you yourself cannot handle. I know I used this little illustration not too long ago, but I want to use it again this evening. One Sunday morning, a little boy commented, I like it when we have bread and medicine at church. And she was trying to figure out what he was talking about. Bread and medicine at church? Well, we don't have any bread and medicine at church. We had communion. And she started thinking about it, and she remembered the little cups are like the medicine that she would give him when he was sick with a cold or something to make him feel better. And I like that illustration because when we take communion, isn't it kind of like we're taking medicine, holy medicine, to cleanse us, to free us from sin, to set us free, medicine for the soul. So this night, take and eat. Do this in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. And remember, also, even though it's not Easter yet, it's Easter every day because he has risen. May God bless you. Amen.